How's everyone doing? You're looking wonderful. I was looking forward, Brendan, myself, we're looking so forward to being with you, to come to this undefeated region of the state of Michigan. Hats off to you, Colby. I remember the day when I used to think that, boy, it'd be nice to go undefeated, but we never had a team like that. So hats off to you. The best to you next week down at Ford. This is just so wonderful to be here with you, and a lot of things going through my mind. Your pastor, I had the wonderful opportunity to get reconnected with him when he came to the area here. And I was appointed to be the state coordinator for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. So on top of everything else that I do, I find some time to kind of go around the state and to greet ministers and so on and so forth, and offer support and prayer for ministries in the state of Michigan. So on behalf of Franklin Graham and the team there in Charlotte, North Carolina, send their greetings here as well too this morning. So many things going on in my mind. My mother, who is 97, just had a severe heart attack here a couple of days ago. So here I am in the midst of trying to prepare for a Thanksgiving. And of course, what a wonderful job on the Thanksgiving children's sermon. Wonderful job. You stole all my notes, so we might as well just go home and say, hey, we've had a wonderful time. But you know, Thanksgiving time is really, and the holidays are very special. And certainly when, you know, you have someone dear to you as your mother, it didn't look good. But I'm telling you, this lady, I think, has 9 lives. I think she's part cat, because she's come through pretty well. She's there in the Port Huron area, and she is in rehab now. She was there 3 days in the hospital, and then good enough to go to rehab at 97 years of age. And so we'll have her around hopefully for a little bit and through the holiday season too. But you know, it's wonderful to come together as family and to thank God for all the many blessings, right, that he has done. Children's sermon, great choice of choruses and songs. And I thought, you know, my part, I get, what is it, about an hour and a half? Is that what you give me? Okay. That you give me a little time to kind of incorporate into my message today about giving thanks. Obviously, in everything, the 1 Thessalonians 5:16 or 8 through 18 there, in everything, give thanks. Say that. In everything, give thanks. Not for everything, right? I don't thank God for my mother getting a heart attack, right? I don't thank God for that. But in that she has had this heart attack, I'm going to give thanks. Just like if you guys would have lost, Colby, you know, we would have not been happy. But you know what? In everything, we're going to give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I thought a good way to even bring this up, since I knew that the whole family was going to be here and some of the smaller kids are going to be here. This was a song that my mom taught me and taught us 5 boys. There's 5 of us brothers. And it was strange. Last week I was in Vassar and we did a kind of a holiday concert. My mom was there, we probably did the best concert we've ever done. I can't believe it. And she was there, and we just enjoyed the family gathering. But she taught us this song, and you might know it. If you know it, you can sing with me. If not, I'll know by your not singing this with me. But it goes like this. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How many know that one? Just a couple. I heard you back there. Just a couple. But you know what? That whole passage of Scripture, it says, despise not prophesying, for this is well. And it says, pray without ceasing. So isn't it neat how you can put song or music to Scripture? And it's very interesting to note that we're going to take a little preview of how that worship or that praise was integrated into the Israeli or the Jewish customs. So as to how to remember even scriptures or how to remember things like this, that it just somehow just spurs you on. And I just remembered in everything. And she would always kind of bring it up when things weren't going very well. Isn't that something? And she would always just remind us that it's in everything. Say it again, in everything, we need to give thanks. Yeah. And we're going to talk a little bit this morning about giving thanks, even in the midst of adversity. Four little areas that we're going to talk about this morning that we're going to give thanks in adversity. Number one, we'll talk about fleeing, okay? How many of you ever been pursued? And somebody's been after you. How many cops been after you? You've been fleeing the... Well, it sounds like Denby was... we had some issues there at the football game that some people maybe been fleeing because they were being pursued. But anyway, so we're going to talk about fleeing. We're going to be talking about... and fight. How many have ever been in a fight here with a spouse or family or neighbor? Okay, we talk about fighting. In the fire. How many have ever been in the fire before? Things have just not gone your way, and you've been in the frying pan, and it does not look like it's going to pan out for you. Obviously, the last one is going to be, we're going to be talking about framed, all right? The four F's. How many have ever been framed before? You've been accused of doing something that you didn't do, and you've been framed, and maybe at work, okay? And that has happened to me several different times, and I'm sure that has probably happened to you. But we'll look at these four areas briefly, and we're going to see in Scripture how that even the worship and the giving of thanks in these four different areas are scripturally sound. And we need to look at Scripture. We need to remind ourselves of what the Word says about in adversity. In those times of troubles and trials, we need to give thanks to God. I thank God for his mercy. And you know what? I'm just going to, if you don't mind, I'm going to grab this back here. Is that okay? I'm going to do it anyway, even if you don't like it. So I'm just going to bring it down here. I hate kind of being up. I kind of like being down here. I kind of like being with the people here. And... the text this morning, you've already heard it. Obviously, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, this was written in about 52 AD. So the Apostle Paul, this was probably one of his first epistles that he wrote to Thessalonica and in the New Testament. So Paul was saying to the church of Thessalonica, they were going through all kinds of things and situations. He said, don't do evil, do good, don't despise prophesying. In everything, give thanks. Pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean that you go around on your knees and you just, you know, you pray without ceasing all day long. That means you have to have a prayerful attitude. No matter where you're at, often, I would catch my parents. We'd be driving and something would happen and I'd hear him say, oh, Jesus, help us. You know, that's praying without ceasing. That's always being mindful that the Spirit of the Lord is with you. He said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I am with you at all times. David, in Psalm 46, 1, he said that he's a very present help in the time of trouble. Very present. So no matter where you are at in your life, especially if you're in trouble, he's a very present help. He said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I don't care how bad the circumstances look, I will never leave you. Those are some powerful words from the scripture. So as we look, and I'm going to put my watch down here because my wife knows that I can be like a little rabbit and I can hop all over the place and not get to my business here real quick. So I don't want to be here too mindful because I can tell when you've had too much because people get a little excited. All right. The first area, as we're talking about the flight and fleeing. And this particular passage of scripture, if you're taking notes, you can even refer to these even after this afternoon. I know you all take copious notes and that you're going to study the scriptures this afternoon. But in Psalms 7 through 9 was a particular portion of scripture that David, the King David, wrote during probably one of his most trying times of his life. Here he was anointed to be king when King Saul was king. Wasn't that was a little crazy because King Saul, he did not do what the Lord wanted him to do, and Samuel then took that away from him and then anointed one of Jesse's sons, his eighth sons, his baby, David, to be the next king in place of Saul. Kind of crazy. But here we have David. Now, you got to understand, David has killed the giant. And one of the benefits from killing the giant, Goliath, was that he was going to get a large dowry. He was going to get rich, and he was going to have one of the king's daughters. He was going to get to marry one of the king's daughters. So there is a reward. God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And David was rewarded in that particular way. But here, as you know the story goes, King Saul was jealous of David and pursued to kill him. Can you imagine that? Here the champion of Israel goes out and dares to defy the army of the Philistines and dares to defy and fight the giant because the giant was shouting out all kinds of profanities and saying, "Who among you will dare to stand before me? I'll give your flesh to the birds and to the beasts." So we get this little kid who comes and said, "How dare you defy the name of our Lord?" And so he took that sling and killed the giant. But now here, David was the champion of Israel. And so King Saul heard the cries of the people in the street saying, Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands. So we knew that King Saul, the king of Israel, was jealous. And so here, King Saul was in pursuit of David, all right, the warrior, and tried to kill him time and time again. Can you imagine this? Here is the champion, the one who saved Israel from the Philistines. And this man is jealous of one of his own warriors. So David hears David fleeing for his life. He fled 7 years. Did you realize that? 7 years David had to flee for his life because Saul was after him and was going to kill him because of his jealousy. Because David was going to be, he was anointed to be the next king. So can you imagine that? Brenda and I had the privilege of being there in En-Gedi. En-Gedi is a place, it's a beautiful place. It was a hiding place that David camped and he fled to and did a lot of hiding from King Saul during the time there. But here he is writing this. And if you look here in the scripture, and I know that I'm getting a little too deep because every one of these points, I know I could probably preach in 2 hours here on each one of these points that I'm talking about. But we see here in Psalm 7, and it says here in verse 1, it says, "The Lord my God, I take refuge." This is David now writing about his circumstances when he was fleeing the presence of King Saul. "Lord my God, I take refuge in you. Save and deliver me, from all those who pursue me. And he goes on in the end of the chapter and he says, I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Getting pursued and going to be killed, his life threatened, and he's giving thanks to God in the midst of this. Man, I'm telling you, what an example. If you are here today and you're fleeing from any type of persecution, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Not for the circumstances, but in those circumstances that you're fighting, we need to always give thanks to the Lord. And I love this particular portion of Scripture. Now, if you go to Psalm 136, you will see a litany here that is written. And really, this particular psalm is not necessarily given to David necessarily, but David probably added to this particular litany of praise unto the Lord. But it was probably started by Moses when, remember the Israelites, when they escaped Egypt, they were fleeing from the Egyptian army. And so here, listen to this. Now this little song that I said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Now, they made this a song some 4,000 years ago. And it goes like this. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. And it goes on. And then he talks about to him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his love endures forever. And brought us out of Israel among them, his love endures forever. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, his love endures forever. And brought Israel through the midst of it, his love endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, his love endures forever. To him who led his people through the desert, his love endures forever. Now, can you imagine? Now, I don't know if that's the exact tune, but can you imagine this was the example of what the Israelites and what the Jewish people did back in the day. They took verses from the psalmist, they took verses from the prophets, and they put it to music so that they could recite it, and the rhythm and the everything in it, that the syncopation, you know, it was just all put together so they would remember, and orally they were able to hand that down from generation to generation. So I love this particular aspect because this will take us, all right? This was probably written in about 956 BC, before Christ, when David was kind of penning this, and possibly even with Moses penning some of this as well before, but David taking it and putting it to music. So now we take this from them being pursued by the Egyptians, and now we go to the next point here. Now, we're going to give thanks in the midst of the fight. I love this particular portion of Scripture. This is probably one of my famous ones, or my favorite ones, and I probably even preached it here, maybe. I don't even know, to tell you the truth. But this is found in 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Thanksgiving in the midst of a fight. How many have ever been in a fight here? Only four of you. Okay, all right. How many have ever been in a fight with your spouse at all? Or only? Oh, now it starts to go around. Okay, all right. How many have been in a fight maybe with the neighbor, or maybe a little disagreement? Oh, same people. Okay, all right. Maybe with a worker, a co-worker, a boss, or anything? We don't have very much participation here today. I must be not talking to the right people here today. I don't know. But anyway.
Or those don't want to confess.
Or those don't want to believe or confess and say that it's right. Well, if we look here, we see, now we're going to peel back about 350 years forward from King David, and we're now going to go to the great, great, great grandson of King David. And how many knows who that is? Jehoshaphat. All right, he was the king at this particular time in 2 Chronicles. Now, if you recall, I'm sure that all of you are biblical scholars, and you recall probably this particular portion when Israel was facing this particular fight. Now, this was in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting with verse 1. It goes through the whole chapter, and we won't and don't have time to go through the whole chapter. And you're saying, thank God. But we see here a vast army is coming against them from Edom and Tamar. There were three big forces, and that is En-Gedi. See, En-Gedi is even in here. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah, and the people came together. So imagine, here's an army. It'd be like Iraq coming on to us, or it could be whatever. You put in whatever. Or you could put China coming after us. Or Russia. Russia and China maybe coming after us. And we got these world powers that are coming against us. And here we're going, saying, oh my goodness, God, what are we going to do? When you're in the middle of a fight, what do you need to do? You need to inquire of the Lord. You need to ask him for help. Now, we're going to speed this up a little bit because I could get into this very good. And I know that I got to go quickly because some are getting impatient. No, I'm just teasing with you. All right, back there. All right, here we go. And we see here that King Jehoshaphat, what happens is that they don't know what to do. So they're praying, they're fasting, they're saying, God, help us. I don't know what. They're going to wipe us all out. What are we going to do? So remember, this is the famous quote. The battle is not yours, but the battle is the Lord's. That was the word of the Lord that came to Jehoshaphat from Jehaziel, the psalmist. The psalmist. He said, I got a word from you. The word of the Lord is, the battle is not yours. You're not even going to have to fight, but the battle is the Lord's. So here, the last thing is, he says, go down to Tokokia or whatever that valley that was called, and you are going to meet the battle. The enemy is going to come against you. You're in the middle of the fight, but you're not going to have to fight. So he sent out praisers. He sent out priests before the battle. Now, here's the thing. They remembered that song that David wrote 350 years before. Look at this in verse number 23. Now, let's look at 21. And according and consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. And as they went out, they head toward the army, saying, give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. What a crazy thing to do. Come on. You've got these armored people that are going to come and they're going to wipe you off the face of the earth. How dare you come out there and do something crazy like that and sing praises? Give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Well, you probably know the end of the story. The story is that God set them up. And this army got so confused, they started fighting and killing one another. as the priests, and they were singing, "Give thanks to the Lord for his mercy endure." And let me tell you what, they slew this entire army that they collaborated together with. They fought one another, they killed everybody off, and the Israelites went in there, and it took them 3 days to get the spoils from these dead bodies and bring them back to Israel. Now you talk about a powerful miracle of God in the middle of a fight. When you're going to lose, it's obvious that you're going to lose because there's giants in the land. You give thanks unto the Lord. They were probably singing the same song that David wrote 350 years before. Because his mercy and his love, it endures forever. So we're going to praise him in the middle of the storm. In the middle of the fight, we're going to give thanks and praise to the Lord. So where are you today? Are you in a heated fight with a spouse, family member, neighbor, or friend? You know, the battle is not yours. The battle's the Lord's. Give thanks. Let me tell you what, I had, and this is, I'm going to deviate if you'll let me, just for just one little bit. Some 18 years ago, I had one of the most challenging battles spiritually in my entire ministry. I'm almost, 38 years in ministry. And I hope I never forget. I had some things that were done wrong, and this can kind of go into even the frame, and I'll shorten my message here because I know I'm getting time out here pretty quick. But I was kind of framed, all right? I felt like I should probably have taken over the ministry there in Port Huron. And there was someone that came in that kind of underhandedly and sowed some seeds of division. And the church was going phenomenally well, 1,500 people. And it was just blew up. And I couldn't believe that happened. God, how dare you allow something like this happen? When people are coming to Christ, they're giving their lives to the Lord. People are getting saved and delivered and healed. There were some powerful things that were happening in the ministry. And all of this happens? Only my wife is here can tell you how upset I was. I was mad. I was mad at God for this happening when so many good things were happening, so many lives were being touched. And then about 7-8 years after this incident that happened, I had resigned. I said, you know what, I've had enough. I'm not going to fight. I could have. I had a good friend that said, you know what, just keep your head down. Shut up. I wanted to write in the paper and tell them all the different things that were happening and all this kind of stuff. He just said, keep your head down. The last chapter is not written yet. My friend. So I did. As much as I wanted to just blast out the injustices that were happening to me. I couldn't believe that God had forsaken me and left me. How dare that this happened? And then this, about 8 years, I did everything. I asked God to forgive me, you know, probably, I can't tell you how many times, because I'd feel good a little bit, and then that bitterness would come back again, and, you know, almost like probably King Saul, right? And you let it go, and it comes back, and then you deal with it. You try to deal with it in every way possible to get rid of that bitterness. And that root of bitterness can grow up and spring up and defile many. Did you know that? That's what the scriptures say. I didn't want to defile anybody. So I did what my buddy said. Just keep your head down, shut up, and just... So then Operation Transformation comes about. That's been 18 years now. But here's the bottom line is I passed the test, probably not very good. I probably got a D- in passing the test. But I passed. But I passed the test. This gentleman that came in to disrupt and divide the church, we encountered him at a function that I was at, And if I would have saw him coming through those doors, I would have probably went the other way, if you know what I'm talking about, because I didn't want to confront and didn't want to deal with the situation. But it was perfect timing. The Lord had it set up perfectly. We were at the entrance of this hotel at the same time. And it was like, oh, hi, how you doing? You know, like this. And he had to kind of put on this mask. And we ended up having a halfway decent conversation, catching up a little bit about kids and family and what was happening in their lives and so on and so forth. And I'll tell you what, the thing that I never will forget is that on the drive home, after we had this encounter with this gentleman that just split the church in half, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, every time you think of this man, thank God for what he did. For if he didn't do what he did, you wouldn't be where you're at today. God had set me up into a ministry that far superseded what I ever dreamed, whatever I thought I could ever have influence in community leaders' lives and so on and so forth. And I'll tell you what, I remember telling Brenda on our drive home, man, the Spirit, and then that moment, I knew that God had healed me of that wound and of that hurt and of that fight that was in me, all right? Every time you think of this man, thank God for him. Isn't that something? Thank God for him. Because if he didn't do what he did, you wouldn't be where you're at today. Talk about the intervention of God and the Holy Spirit and what he can do in the lives of people. So I'm going to shut my mouth, all right? I'm able to communicate exactly what the Lord wanted me to communicate this morning. I don't know where you're at today or what circumstances that you're facing today. But in spite of every circumstance that you're facing, if you will drop to your knees and just give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, you will see the battle is not yours, the battle is the Lord's. And he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence, or from any other activity that might try to ensnare or trip you up or lead you astray. God is a good God, and he wants to help you in every circumstances of life that you face, with your neighbor, with your spouse, and maybe with your family this coming Thursday. Because I know that sometimes family issues can happen. I know that. I'm just letting you in on a secret. Sometimes it's like, do we have to go over there and have dinner with the family? Yes. You know what? Because family is good. We only have family once. Even though that my mom's, she's the kind of glue that puts all five of us brothers together. There are, little things that go on, that have gone on before. And you know what? The good thing about this is that, this has brought us even closer together. Mom's having her little heart attack. We've been texting back. My one brother doesn't text, and the other one is just starting to text, and you can always tell, hi, Tom, and then he all signs it his last name at the end. I'm thinking, okay, you don't have to really do that. You can just let us know. I understand. I know who's texting me. But anyway, it's bringing us closer together even as a family. Isn't that something? That something bad is drawing us even closer together as a family. So in everything, say that, in everything. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Or you say concerning me. So that's the word of the Lord today for you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In everything, we're going to give thanks For this is the will of God. No matter what you're facing, what trials, circumstances. Now, I'm going to pray, all right? And I'm just going to just briefly ask, and that's all right, your heads are up. If you're going through something, I'm just going to make a general prayer. If you're going through something, I've hit something today, all right, just put your hand up. I'm going to make a prayer here, 2, 3, 4. Anybody else that this is ministered to, 5, 6, 7. The rest of you, I'm praying for the rest of you because you need some help here today. So let's bow and let's pray and let's ask God to do something in our hearts today. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We hide your word in our hearts. We thank you for the examples, Lord, that we see here in Scripture that you have given us to follow after. Your word is truth. And the word of the Lord in Ephesians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, we make our requests known to you. And we know that all things do work together for good to those who love you and who are called according to your purpose. So I pray for each individual situation that's represented here today, especially those that raised their hand, their trials or tribulations that they might be going through. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would help us to keep our heads down and understand that the battle is not ours, the battle is yours. And Lord, in everything, we're going to give thanks. And just like David did, and just like Jehoshaphat did with those priests, we're going to give thanks unto the Lord for your mercy and your love endure forever. And we cast all of our cares on you this morning, for you do care for us. And we pray this in the most powerful name of Jesus. And everybody said,